This is Voices of Our World. I'm your host, Eileen Bott. Next, we'll be going on safari, not to see lions and giraffes, but to see people's houses. Safari is the Kiswahili word for journey, so we'll be going on the road with Mary Knoll sisters Paula Kuntz, intrepid driver sister Noelle Drescher, and the incredible man who facilitates all their good deeds, Joseph. Mary Knoll sisters Paula Kuntz and Noelle Drescher have been living in Kitale since 1972. Both are now in their 70s. When asked what has changed since they came, Sister Paula said that the people that you work with and live among haven't changed. They are wonderful, and that's what gives us life. Unfortunately, people have become poorer. Eleanor Ostrinsky and Kathy Golden drive to see housing projects sponsored by Mary Knoll. It's definitely not what you'd expect.
What we're going to see now is a project we have had for the past 2 years with people, the poor who have roofs that leak, and up to very recently they used to use grass to cover their roofs, but it's very hard to get because most of the people in this area live on one point of land. It's one-tenth of an acre. And so there's no place to grow the grass that they need for roofs, so they'd have to go very far to get it. It was very costly to transport it, and it didn't last. So we thought to really help these people that we would try to get iron sheeting for their roofs.
Land is so important because they bury their dead on their land. If they have no land, it's a big problem as to where to bury someone who has died. So they really struggle with trying to get enough money to buy even a point.
To inherit land is the biggest thing in a kid's life. Growing up is what he will have as an adult. And there's nothing for these children here. The land is all taken up.
Maize is everywhere. It is the common crop.
Yes, that's their staple food, the ground maize. They make ugali out of it.
And if they don't have ugali, no matter what else they eat, they will tell you they haven't yet had their meal. This man is coming with us.
Joseph. Habariyako. Suri-san.
Jambo-san.
You can say jambo.
Jambo.
Jambo-sana. Jambo-sana.
Yes. We have known Joseph since 1972, yes. Right?
Yes.
Joseph was a student in the teacher's training college where we lived at St. Joseph's. Now he has retired from teaching, and he helps us, and he really helps us. This is his area. This is the new school here, St. Teresa School, and he has put up all of these buildings for this school. He's really very active in the church here.
Do you think, sister, we'll go to Anna's or...
Anna's place is okay, or Tabitha, yeah.
She's down here, but the way is bad. We'll go around.
Yeah. They put up the home for the person, and they mud it, and they put the windows and the doors. When they do that together, then we bring the mabati for the roofing. So that helps. It's really a semi-permanent house. We've been able to put up 75 in our outstations, and this is all gifts from people who have sent donations to Mary Knoll,
right.
And our friends, family and friends have done
this.
So
how much would it cost to put one house up?
One house.
Yeah.
We figure $75. That's for the roof. The house itself, the wood and that, they're very simple houses. They fell a tree and split it. Can cost maybe another $100 for the people that have to get the wood and someone to make the door. And so we'll just go in here. Safi mama. Nyumba mzuri.
Eh.
Unaweza kuingia.
Eh.
Asante sana. Very nice. Yeah. This mother really struggled to get this. We kept pushing and pushing. See you.
So that's our God today.
She's so much happy. So much happy that she cannot even express it.
That's angari sana mai. Ngamwikire hombo na mai. Ikinimanike mwaholera mai.
She says she is so much happy for the work that you have done for her.
Karibu.
Amen.
What language does she speak?
Luya language. Kibukusu. Okay. You see, we have Luya as a whole, but the sub-tribe is Bukusu. So she speaks very little Kiswahili.
And you now?
I am also a Bukusu.
Yeah.
I can speak small, little English.
Yeah, very good. Very good.
Yeah. So sister has done a lot of help. We thank Sister Paula very much. If she was not the one, this mama was having a very bad house that you can see outside. When it rains, it dribbles, and sometimes it becomes very smelly because of wetness. So when I was talking to her the other day, she told me she sleeps well. She says, if it rains, let it rain.
And it rains almost every day.
No, this year there is little rain.
We continued our journey to another family's home. Joseph explained that the sisters raised money to buy this elderly couple 1/10 of an acre so that a home could be built, a small shamba or garden could provide sustenance for a family with 10 adults and about 10 kids. Sister Paula explained that Joseph helped to search for the available land. Neither boasted about their accomplishments, essentially saving this family from the starvation they faced in Turkana in northern Kenya, where famine persists.
Sister Paula bought this land here. Then she built the house we are going to see for the old mama and the old man you see there. So this mama had no place to live, had no place to sleep. So we can see the shamba. It's not very big, but it is enough for these old people. Because now they can get food, they can get vegetable.
It's a big difference.
It's a big difference. They are happy.
Yeah.
Ameenda. Sirende.
Oma.
Sister was asking him where his wife is. Then he says she went to where sister works. That she was not feeling well to get chest medicine for chest. His legs hurt.
He's limping very badly, and he wouldn't be able to get to a hospital. So Joseph will come and get medicine and take it for pain. Not much can be done at this point, but just to keep him comfortable. Northern Kenya, where these people are from. It's where all the starvation is right now. So that is why he came down this way to take care of somebody's shamba. They didn't have any place to live, so Joseph looked around and found a plot that we could buy for them. So they have 1/10 of an acre here also. Yes. Just one point is all that we could manage at that time. And they have put up their house, and it's very adequate for them. They're very happy here. They also have a grandchild who is mentally challenged. Yeah, and we have her in a school in Eldoret. She's studying there and doing very well. She couldn't manage anything now. She can take care of herself. And she's maybe 9 years old now, but she does very well in her studies. We're very happy with her progress.
How do you choose who gets your aid?
The need. The need is there. We take the words of the teachers, the people who we have been working with. They tell us where there's a need here that's really bad, and we just try to respond to that, because most of these people we don't know in the beginning, you know, and that. So we meet them through this kind of thing, and then we get to be good friends.
Very nice.
Oh, Look at these children there. Well, we do keep trying, don't we, Joseph? We're all part of the elder branch now, so we just do what we're able to do. So when you see things like this that you've helped and they're doing well, you're very happy.
Housing is actually not the sisters' main vocation. Both are registered nurses. They have managed to treat hundreds of people over the years, and they have managed to raise funds for limb replacements for quite a few people, including a young man named Gabriel.
A child who, when he was 3, was run over by the train that goes by here and cut off his both legs and these 4 fingers of this hand. And he was brought to us about 3 years ago. Up till that time, he had just crawled on the ground.
He's in grade 3 now, and he goes to school by himself.
And he has prosthetic legs.
Yes.
Everybody. Who paid for that?
A very wonderful thing happened. An 89-year-old woman in the States was surfing the net, and she came across the Mary Knoll story that we had written about Gabriel, and she sent a very large donation to help. My niece and her husband gave us the first donation to be able to take him to the hospital, but this woman has given us enough now that anything that Gabriel or children like Gabriel could need now, we will be able to get.
Oh,
so it's
wonderful.
Just a really wonderful thing.
No Kenyan visit would be complete without visiting someone's family. And so we had the great pleasure of meeting Joseph's wife, several of his children, their spouses, and children. When we stepped back into the car, we saw a procession of teenage boys passing by. In the car, Joseph explained that the teenage boy adorned with white millet flour on his face and body was going to be circumcised tomorrow. This is a rite of passage for 10 to 17-year-old Bukusu boys. Housing is a collective problem. What could we all do to alleviate the pressure on an individual or a family? Log on to the Voices of Our World webpage, www.maryknoll.org/voices. There's a spot there for your feedback. Well, that's all for this week, and thanks for listening. Mary Knoll lay missioner Dr. Susan Nagley, Mary Knoll sisters Noelle Drescher and Paula Kuntz, Joseph and Tabita are just some of the voices of our world. Voices of Our World is a presentation of this station and Mary Knoll. Our producers are Eleanor Ostrinsky and Kathy Golden, and our executive producer is Larry Rich. I'm your host, Eileen Bott. You heard music courtesy of Rough Guides Music. You'll find more information on today's guests and topics on our program's website, www.maryknoll.org/voices. And if you'd like to find out more about Mary Knoll, or to subscribe to Mary Knoll Magazine in English or Spanish, just call 1-877-MARY-KNOLL. That's 877-MARYKNOLL. If you have questions or comments about this show, again, just call 1-877-MARY-KNOLL. If you missed a portion of this program, you can catch us on Mary Knoll's website, www.maryknoll.org/voices. And please, join us next time for more Voices of Our World.